"Splendid!" He kept his telescopic cameras carefully aimed, glued to their moving objective, clapped on a higher power to get a close-up of the frantic and distorted face. "Admirable!" Switched over for half a minute to slow motion, an exquisitely comical effect, he promised himself. Listened in, meanwhile, to the blows, the groans, the wild and raving words that were being recorded on the soundtrack at the edge of his film. Tried the effect of a little amplification. Yes, that was decidedly better. Was delighted to hear, in a momentary lull, the shrill singing of a lark. Wished the savage could turn round so that he could get a good close-up of the blood on his back, and almost instantly, what astonishing luck, the accommodating fellow did turn round, and he was able to take a perfect close-up. "Well, that was grand," he said to himself when it was all over. "Really grand!" He mopped his face. When they had put in the Feely effects at the studio, it would be a wonderful film. Almost as good, thought Darwin Bonaparte, as the sperm whale's love life, and that, by Ford, was saying a good deal. 12 days later, the Savage of Surrey had been released and could be seen, heard, and felt in every first-class Feely palace in Western Europe. The effect of Darwin Bonaparte's film was immediate and enormous. On the afternoon which followed the evening of its release, John's rustic solitude was suddenly broken by the arrival overhead of a great swarm of helicopters. He was digging in his garden, digging, too, in his own mind, laboriously turning up the substance of his thought, death. And he drove in his spade once, and again, and yet again, and all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death.